We are going to open up this evening a series that will be at least 3 Sundays long and maybe 5 or 6, depending on if I am able to do everything I would like to do. And the basic thing that we are going to be looking at is a pastor. What is a pastor? Well, we will start with what is a pastor. We'll answer some very basic questions. I plan on teaching through this series a little bit, as much as the Lord will allow me. But the next couple of times, I'll probably be doing more preaching than teaching, because there is some very devastating things going on today in our churches concerning pastors. If indeed you go to the Scriptures and you read very carefully through the Scriptures about what a pastor is and what a pastor does and the responsibilities that fall on a pastor, I don't know that it would not be safe to say that there would never be a human being anywhere ever that would choose to be a pastor. I'm pretty certain that it would be a very rare or an odd fellow who would choose to be a pastor if they wanted to be a pastor like the Bible talks about what a pastor is. Now, on the other hand, today in the United States of America, we have schools set up for people that they can go to for no other reason than to become a pastor. That is the reason they go. That is the courses they take. Because they, looking out over the situation of life, whether or not they want to be a septic tank pumper, a baker, a fireman, or a pastor, or any millions of things in between, they have chosen that it seems to them the best life they would, the thing they would themselves like to live the most would be the life of a pastor. And so they go to school to be trained to be a pastor. When they get out of school and have graduated from the seminary of the devil, they go and seek a position in a church that pays them an income just like we seek for jobs. They work that job throughout their lives as best they know how, as best as their training has been given to them, until they reach the age of retirement, whence they retire like the rest of the working population. They live the last few years of their life, and then they finally die and they go to hell. Those people are not pastors. Now, if you want to be a pastor, according to the words of the Scripture, what a pastor is, you probably don't want to be. And in fact, Paul writes, and I'm gonna stumble over it now just because I want it. He writes something, I may not quote this exactly, but he basically says, if I preach the gospel by my own will, then I would have a reward. But if I preach the gospel against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. That's what Paul writes. Paul said, if I had chosen to preach the gospel, it would be reasonable that I would be expecting to be paid for it. Because it was something I chose to do. I chose it for a reason, and I would expect to get paid. But he said, if I'm preaching the gospel not because I chose to, but because I have to, he said, that's God's fault. That's really what he said. A dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Yea, he said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And there is no such thing as a pastor who is preaching the gospel of Christ and standing in the gap between man and God, begging God for the salvation of humanity and trying to keep the people of God following God. There is no such thing as that kind of a person. Who fully enjoys that job, who God has not called. It is a calling. It is something that we enter into because we can't not be that person. Before you guys go too far with anything that I'm going to say, because I'm going to be very, very, very hard in the next couple coming weeks on the pastors of America. Before you take too faulty anything that I say, let me tell you something. There are, in one place, God's pastors, the people God has called, and the people who know the message of God and who wouldn't compromise it for anything. There are those people. And then there is a large crowd on the other side of people who have never been saved, who are working a job, who stand behind the pulpit, and they come up with something out of the book or elsewhere to say to the people. They're not saved. Now, in between those people who are God called and those people who are not saved, there are many, many, many people who are saved and godly, but are weak in their following of God, are weak in their obedience to the Scripture, and they fit a middle category. They are in a category of people who are truly preaching the words of the Scripture. They are truly on their way to heaven, and yet the dedication of their life is so pathetic as to make them in no way fit the scriptural definition of what a pastor is. Yet they are good people. They have good churches. Their churches are made up with many Christians. Some of the things that I might say might condemn those people, but I don't intend to condemn them in the same way that I condemn the loads of the ungodly who stand behind pulpits and use the Word of God and the church as an income. And that's all. Now, this church was started about 30 years ago by my dad. He was the pastor of the church. He was the elder of the church. And he was also about everything else that the church had. And he was that way for many years while he lived, until all of a sudden he goes on up to heaven. When that happened, there was nobody in this church who was trained to be a pastor. There was nobody here, seriously, there was nobody here who had ever really done much preaching. Dan O'Connor had done a little bit. I know for a fact I had never publicly, in a public meeting, done any. I don't think Brandon had. I'm pretty sure Ezra had not. I'm pretty sure Noah had not. Now, all these people here have taken some part in public speaking in this church. But more than anything, in the meetings that followed since my dad died until today, it was mostly me and Dan speaking for a while, until Dan felt like he was running out of steam, needed a break. Brandon took over. Brandon has been speaking pretty much ever since. And a short time ago, a few years ago, Ezra entered in and has been speaking once a week for a while. Now, throughout all this time, whether or not each of these people I am mentioning or not were actually gifted and qualified to be a pastor or not is kind of irrelevant for what I'm going to say. They were all, to some degree, exercising the place of a pastor. Now, the reason that we're going through this series was presented to me, to my mind, a few years back, when we had in the church a number of young people sitting around talking about the fact that this church needed a pastor. That's what I was hearing. This church needed a pastor. And I'm going to tell you, whatever you feel or felt about what was going on in the church at that time, I'm going to tell you that just as the children of Israel were rejecting God from being their king, seeking for a king, when they came to Samuel and they said, "Get us a king." And Samuel went to God and he said, "The people are asking for a king." And God said, "Don't worry, it's not me you have rejected. It's not you that they have rejected, it's me they have rejected." In the same way that those young people were sitting in this church saying, "We need a pastor," they were rejecting what God calls a pastor. They were rejecting it. What they did not want was a pastor according to what the Bible says a pastor is. What they wanted is somebody to be in the church in a paid position with time to spend with the people, scratch their backs, make everybody happy, like the rest of the churches in America who have so little Christianity, we'd be kicked out if we applied for membership. That's what they wanted. Now I'm not going to fault any of the people who had those conversations, and I don't know of any, I don't even know who they were. I heard the stuff floating. Okay, I don't even know who all those people were. I'm not faulting those people. We all have immaturities and we all need growth, and I've said naughty things in my life too. But I am going to tell you what they said was positively wicked. What they said was positively calculated to destroy everything that this church stands for and believes in. What they said was opposed to biblical Christianity. It was opposed to the work of God. Me and Brandon and Dan and Ezra have been giving our lives to God and to God's people in every way that we know how to give, though it be in the weakness of human flesh. And in that respect, we have exercised our lives to feed the people of God. This church had more than one pastor. We didn't need a pastor. We actually needed some of the young people to get right with God. That's what we needed. Now, while we look here, what is a pastor? Let's quickly go through a list of some of the scriptural words that the scripture gives to us as what we would call ministers of the gospel. I've written them up here for you. I have not included every single thing that the scripture says, but I've written up here most of the words we find in the scripture. The bulk of this list even is in the list of Ephesians, which actually we will just turn to and read. Let's open to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll just read that really quickly before we move on. Speaking here of the gifts that God gives to His church, Ephesians 4, verse 11 says, "And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That's far enough for now. We have in this verse, in verse 11, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, as you go through the New Testament and you study the work of these people, you will find out that the most major job for this whole list here is preaching. That is the number one job that every person in this list engages in the New Testament. Preaching. Okay, you do not find that some of them tend to be running the church in this way, or some tend to be helping this person, or some tend to be heads over this department. You find in the New Testament that the apostles were preachers. You find in the New Testament, Old and New Testament, that the prophets were preachers. You find in the New Testament that evangelists are preachers. You find in the New Testament that pastors and shepherds, which now are exactly the same thing, okay, we'll get more on that later, you find that they are preachers. A teacher, I think, is a preacher. The bishops and overseers, both words are used in the New Testament, same Greek word, same people. You find that they are preachers. You find in the New Testament that the elders are preachers. We'll look at a few verses. We're not going to look at all of those. But let's start with Second Timothy chapter 4. Paul writes to Timothy here in chapter 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. How many of you guys know just exactly who Timothy was in the New Testament? How many of you know which one of these people, which category he fell under? Actually, as a matter of fact, I think he probably hit most of them. But the scripture does not in detail give us everything that he did. But here, Paul writes to him, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Skip down a little bit. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. So now we know what an evangelist is supposed to do. He's supposed to preach the word. But as you go to the very end of the chapter, it says, the second epistle unto Timotheus, ordained the first bishop of the church of Ephesians, was written from Rome. Okay, so this epistle is written to Timothy, who was ordained a bishop of the church of the Ephesians. So he's been told by Paul to teach. He's now been told to be an evangelist. He is a bishop. He's been told to ordain elders. I cannot fathom the possibility of a person ordaining elders who is not an elder, to some degree at least. And we don't need to go too far with this. This is just a little bit of introduction here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul, writing about the prophet, says, "Let the prophet speak." Okay, the prophet's job is to preach. That's what they did all through the Old Testament as they wrote and as they talked to the Jews, giving the message of God, warning of judgment to come many times, as well as many other things. I'm going to go quickly to Acts. Actually, we can stay in 1 Timothy while we're here. Jump back to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." Okay, now here we go. Giving a commandment to Timothy about church elders. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Now, this would imply to me that some elders are not preachers. Not all elders are preachers. But I would say for the most part, many are. Now, let me give you a little bit of a distinction what we're talking about when we say elders. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and bishops are all offices that are recognized in the scriptures. Well, maybe I shouldn't include bishops in this. These are all are recognized as the gifts that God has given to the church. Elders is something that nature gives to the church. Okay? Nature makes people age. Now, the fact of the matter is, God ordains elders. He doesn't create elders. Elders come about. But God ordains elders when they become elders. Now, you may have a church full of elderly people who aren't elders at all because they have never matured enough in their Christian faith. So when he's talking here about the elders who rule well, he's not just talking about everybody who's older at this point, but those who are older and who have taken upon them ministry in the church, those who have been recognized as church leaders. And I'll tell you, for the most part, those people should be preachers. Because when a person gets to the place that they become a leader among people, they've got something to say. And so here he clearly shows us that the elders are preachers. Some of them, at least, are preachers. They labor in the word and in doctrine. We'll find more of that in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Verse 17, it says, it's talking about Paul now here. "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders," and called the elders of the church. Okay? So now he's going to talk to the elders of the church at Ephesus. And here's what he tells them down in verse 28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Now, we have three people mentioned. Three of these people mentioned right here in this little passage. First, we're talking to the elders. Second, he says the Holy Ghost has made them bishops. Same exact word translated bishop everywhere else in the New Testament. In this one place is translated overseer, which is what a bishop is. Third, he tells them to feed or shepherd the people. Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, if any of this gets confusing to you, don't worry. It's confusing to me too. Because as we go through and we try to figure out exactly which job each one of these people are, all of them pretty much have the same job. Pretty much that whole list of people are public ministers who preach. It takes different forms in different people depending on their location, more or less. Some of them may be, the pastor may be confined to a local area. The apostle may be doing the same basic job traveling. The evangelist may be the same basic job traveling. The teacher could be wherever he is. The bishop and overseer. I seriously doubt from reading the scriptures, but I honestly can't tell. I seriously doubt that there is any difference between a pastor and a bishop. They appear from the scriptures to be the basic same person. But this is all, it's not really relevant right now for us to settle these things. Christianity has argued over issues like this. They have split into different denominations based on just distinctions like this. It's kind of foolish. We don't need to do this. What we do want to do now is very clearly find out that if we are talking about a pastor, as well as probably any other thing on this board, what is your job? What is your job? Now, as I mentioned, a guy told me recently that pastors only used one time in the New Testament. Well, that is not the truth. Okay, when you open up your Bible and you read from the English, you go through the New Testament, you will find pastor used one time in Ephesians chapter, whatever we read from earlier, Ephesians chapter 4. It's the only time the word pastor appears in the New Testament. Okay, but shepherd appears numerous times. And it's exactly the same word. A pastor is a shepherd. A pastor is somebody who feeds a flock. That's it. I'm not talking now in Christianity. I'm just talking about what the word is. A pastor is someone who feeds a flock of sheep, just like a shepherd. The same word. In the Greek, those two words are the same. They are not different. So, when we are going to talk about what is a pastor, I think we have to kind of go to the model here, which we find in John chapter 10. If you don't mind tonight, when I find the word shepherd, I'm going to read pastor. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the pastor of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good pastor. The good pastor giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good pastor, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also must I bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one pastor." There are two other times that Jesus in the New Testament is referred to as a shepherd. Hebrews 13, I'm going to read them both immediately. Hebrews 13, verse 20. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will." That great shepherd of the sheep. 1 Peter 2:25. "For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Now I told you in the beginning, I told you a few minutes ago, I thought bishops and pastors were pretty identical in the scriptures. Here we have Christ mentioned as the shepherd and bishop of your souls. In the same verse, the shepherd and bishop, or the pastor and bishop, or the pastor and overseer, if you will, of your souls. Now Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, came to earth and He lived a life, the perfect embodiment of what God had to say to the human race. Everything that He was and everything that He did is what consists of what being a shepherd is. Because it's who He was. It's who He was. It's who He is. It is who He will be forever and ever, because Jesus never changes. He was the shepherd of the sheep. He came to shepherd the sheep. If there's anything that anybody who wants to be a pastor needs to know, they need to know this one thing. If you want to be a pastor, you're going to have to be just like Christ. You know, I'm sick to death of people who only ever use the words "like Christ" when they're trying to get somebody to be nice. Jesus wasn't always nice. There was a time that He sat down with some leather and He braided a whip because He was going to go into the temple and purify God's house. And there was a time that He stood in front of the Pharisees and the lawyers and the Sadducees, and He spoke such words to them as that any preacher of today would get kicked out of their church for saying. A person one time came up to me and said, he had recently changed churches. So sad, he said. He didn't say this was sad. I'm saying so. He said he was now going to a church that was more people-friendly, where you could bring a visitor to any time you wanted to and didn't have to worry about what the pastor would say. You know, I can tell you right now, knowing absolutely nothing else about that church, I can tell you right now, he went to a church where the pastor was a man who was going to hell. He was not a saved man, because a saved man preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ as it is recorded in the scriptures, and it is offensive to man. The gospel of Christ teaches man that they are ruined, lost, hopeless, and have no way to recover themselves. Now we're back to John chapter 10. Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep. But I want you to notice, or think, if you will, for a moment with me, what is a shepherd's job? The shepherd's job is to feed the people. The shepherd's job is not to eat the sheep. The shepherd's job is to feed the sheep. And Jesus compares himself and his position as the one who gives his life for the sheep compared to the other people who preach for money. He calls them the hirelings, the ones who have been hired. He says when trouble comes, that person leaves the sheep because the only thing he's there for anyway is money. Money doesn't do you any good in your pocket when your pocket is ripped off your body and you're in the wolf's stomach. So the hireling runs when the wolf comes and he leaves the sheep. The shepherd will stay there and the shepherd will die for the sheep, defending them. That is who Jesus is. He is the one who gave his all for the sheep. He is the one who didn't spare his life. And every person that Jesus calls into the ministry of the gospel, he calls to be a person who is willing to absolutely lose their life, 100% lose their life for the gospel and for the people. He called Peter. He called Peter, who was an apostle. Peter is up here with this one, but he called Peter to do the same job in John chapter 21. It says in verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? That is the fish he had just caught. That was quite a question. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, three times in this passage, Jesus asked Peter to feed his people. The second of the three times is the word shepherd. As we go through the scriptures, we're going to find out, not so much in the New Testament, this word isn't used so much in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, the word shepherd is used a lot. It's translated both shepherd and pastor in the Old Testament. Mostly shepherd. But a handful of times it's translated pastor. And there are two basic words. They're very, very similar in the Greek. I believe it's two. In the Hebrew, I think it's just one. I'm not a scholar here, but it's the same basic word in either case for feeding the sheep. Or for a shepherd. The feed would be the verb side. The shepherd would be the noun side. So when Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep, what he said was, pastor my sheep. Only he didn't say it all three times, and you'll have to go ask God why he didn't, why he used a different word here. The first and the third time, he used a different word for feed. But the middle time, he used the word shepherd. He said to Peter, pastor my sheep. Now, everybody likes to make up stories about this section. So if you want one, I'll make one up too. The two other times that he used the word feed my lambs and feed my sheep, the only other time that those words are used in the New Testament are talking about feeding the pigs. Now, I don't believe what I'm saying now, but I do think it's kind of funny. That word is used in Matthew, it is used in Mark, and it is used in Luke. It is used about the people who fed the swine that the devils entered into. And the swine ran down the hill and the people ran the other way. And it is used about the prodigal son who was sent into the field to feed swine. Can I reread this? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Let's start at the beginning. He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my piglets. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my pigs. Does it sound like maybe what we find sometime in churches? Now, I don't really think that's what Jesus was saying, but it is interesting there that he did use two different words for feed. But what he was telling Peter was called at this moment in his life, Peter was called by the direct voice of the Lord himself to become a pastor. Now, I've heard all sorts of people say a pastor is only somebody who sits in one location over one congregation. And, well, I'll tell you what. The higher you go with God and the more you serve Him, the more likely you are to have bunches of the gifts. So Peter was an apostle, he was an evangelist, he was a teacher, he was a pastor, he was an elder, he was a bishop. I'm not sure if he was a prophet or not. What is a pastor? A pastor is somebody who has been called by God to forsake everything they know and they love. A pastor is somebody who has been called by God to be a faithful minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the feeding of humanity. A pastor... Now, I didn't say that if a pastor gets paid, he is therefore not a pastor. But I will say, without the shadow of any doubt, if a pastor would not be a pastor if he did not get paid, he is not a pastor. A pastor is somebody who feeds the sheep because he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. A pastor is not a pastor who feeds the sheep because he loves the sheep. That is not what we are called to. We are not called to serve and worship the sheep. We are called to serve and worship the Lord. We feed the sheep because we love the Lord. We feed the sheep because we have been sent by the Lord. And a pastor who is a real pastor is the kind of a person who does not compromise anything that is profitable for the sheep for his own name. But rather, he will lose his life fighting for the sheep. You know what actually comes out to be the main job of a pastor? What he's actually fighting for all of his life? He's fighting to keep holiness in the people of God. As we read it in Acts chapter 20, or maybe I forget if we actually read the verse or not, But in Acts chapter 20, when Paul tells the elders at Ephesus to feed the flock, he tells them what he did. He says in verse 26, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." I'm not going to read the whole chapter tonight. This is the basic idea of what a pastor is. A pastor is somebody who cares more about Christ than they care about their reputation. They care more about the Lord than they care about their family. They care more about Jesus than they care about their mom or their dad or their wife or their brother or their sister or their own life. And they give their life to God in the speaking of the Word of God to the people of God, whether the people of God pay them or whether they don't, whether the people of God are thankful or unthankful, whether the people of God compliment them or yell at them. The pastor preaches the Word of God, and the pastor keeps on preaching the Word of God. Any time he gets a chance to open his mouth, he is preaching the Word of God because Jesus sent him. That's what a pastor is. He is an under-shepherd of that great shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep. Next week, Lord willing, we will look at Psalm 23, as well as some of the other Psalms. And we'll look at the life of Jesus when he was on earth. For tonight, we'll dismiss.